Welcome in 3HL 1045 The Zone. Oh, hello, Spring Hill.
What's happening? What's happening?
How are you? We are live from out at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Spring Hill, and we'll have a Titans player with us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So come on out. We are positioned here in the bar area. We would love to see you. I gotta say,
talk to me, Babs.
We need you out here. We need it jumping
this
week, because we are coming off back-to-back wins on short work weeks for the Tennessee Titans, and you need to come out here and celebrate. We've got a Miller Lite wash-away toast coming at 4:45.
I like that.
I know you like that, because you are leading that.
Yes.
The guy leading that, Ron Slay.
Hey!
In the building at B-Dubs, Ron Slay is here. I'm Dawn Davenport. Brent Doherty is not here because that... Can we talk about this? Let's talk about this text chain.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that. First of all, I was going to walk in the studio yesterday, I was going to lay something on the ground, and it was going to say admit one. And I was going to say, oh, look, I stumbled...
You just came across
a World Series ticket. Look.
Oh, how crazy is that? So this is what Brent. This is what Mayor texts us. Is this Sunday that
we're doing? Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Yep. Yes, Sunday. I can't remember. I think it was way before Titans game.
Yeah.
It was. So he's like, "Hey guys, I'm gonna need to take Tuesday and Wednesday off. If you guys are okay with it." I've come across some World Series tickets. Really? You've come across some World Series tickets. Like, that just happened. Right?
Yeah.
And I mean...
Now, first of all, Babs...
I stumbled upon them.
Just fell into some. Just
fell into some World Series tickets.
Oh, man. Now, what is your... Your brother was trying to get tickets down in Atlanta. And
yeah.
The standing room tickets are... I think 900 or something crazy. Oh,
it's four
standing
figures.
Room. It's well, my brother was looking. It was 900. We're talking to Will Bowling here, who's like the biggest Atlanta Braves
exactly.
fan ever.
He Ooh,
like
if anybody else stumbled across something, he was stumbling. Too.
Yes, yeah. You saw him for four. Oh, you're going to game four.
Oh,
yeah. So
we got the whole thing covered.
So here's the deal. My brother made the mistake, which Brent did this. He did the same thing with his son. Oh, if the Astros make it to the World Series, I'll take you. Well, my brother, to my little nephew, who is nine, oh, if the Braves make it all the way. Now, I mean, if you're a Braves fan and you're a lifelong Braves fan, like, you think that that's a pretty safe bet.
You do.
Because guess what? They usually screw it up.
Right.
They usually screw it up. They usually choke late. Like, there's, okay, so my brother's like, hey, if they make it to the World Series, I'll take you.
Yeah.
You know,
Forfeits.
Now he's like, crap. $900 a piece for standing room only in Atlanta. Now, Brent did say that it is easier to get tickets in Houston, or it was better in Houston.
Because they've been there before. It's not just...
I mean, they've cheated their way there before.
Hello.
You know, so...
Who's counting?
Just saying. Not saying, but just saying. So, anyway, so that is why I'm Dawn Davenport, and this is Ron Slay, and there is no mayor, because he just stumbled upon... World Series tickets. But I am very happy that he gets to go, gets to bring his son. That's going to be an awesome experience, and certainly one his son will never forget. Are you dying on me?
I don't know what's going on.
Brent's not here, so I need you to breathe.
So the thing is, Babs, I don't even eat when we're doing the show. I usually get here early enough to eat, but I just snuck a tater tot. And the tater tot is really good, but it kind of crumbled and went down my throat before I chewed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's that, just that little bitty piece, that's... probably microscopic size.
Ooh.
And I just choked. But it's so good.
Those tater tots are so good.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly.
Good. Come on out. You can get some tater tots, too. I'm actually excited about our player today. I mean, I'm always excited about our players because they're phenomenal. And I love that they take the time to come out during the season to meet the fans and to take pictures and sign autographs and say hi to everybody.
Right.
Because we know this season is a grind. But Chester Rogers is going to join us today. And I feel like not a lot of people know kind of the backstory or know a whole lot about Chester Rogers, right? I mean, you know, he was undrafted. You know, he played for the Colts for a while. You know, he's on the practice squad last year. You know, he has certainly grown and made moves and has become a
staple.
A trustworthy weapon, all of that for this Titans team now. But he's like, he's from Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah. But he was a child actor.
Yeah.
Like back in the day.
Oh, we got to get into
So there's some, kind of some, there's some fun stuff like behind the scenes that we'll go over with Chester. And then, of course, we'll get his take on that wide receiver's room, what they're doing right now, right? Ryan Tannehill's doing, what Julio brings to the room. That's because we've talked about it. We talked about it yesterday
a little bit. Yes, we did.
Because who compared Julio to Odell?
Who was it?
Oh, a caller did. Called in and said, is Julio like an... Yeah, is Julio like an Odell kind of addition? To which Honk said no, because
locker room,
he's different for the locker room. And so we'll hit Chester on what he means to that wide receiver's room and all of that. So come on out. That's coming up. He will be with us starting at 5 o'clock. What else do we have? We've got Jimmy Wyatt at 3:45.
Yes, we do. We get to dive into the mailbag, see exactly what's going on around Titans, the locker room, the game, the scheme, how they're getting ready. We get to see everything with Jim Wyatt.
Yes, and then your guy.
My favorite part.
Yes, Alan Bell will join us at 4:20, and we'll hit into some of these games, which, by the way, if you look at some of these college football games this weekend too, as well, like ESPN is kind of selling this as like
the weekend.
A really big weekend because this is the last, it's Statement Saturday is what ESPN's calling it, because this is the last weekend of games before that first college football playoff poll comes out.
Right.
There's still a host of unbeaten teams, you know, and some of them, I mean, obviously, some of them you can question and say, we'll see how long they will stay unbeaten. But but there's still a pretty significant list of unbeaten teams. There's some prominent one-loss teams.
Yep.
And how is that all going to play out with the college football playoff and the first rankings that come out? This is the last week of the AP rankings, where that's all we see.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of the last week and last game weekend for those teams. Especially with add some style points and stay in the mix and in the conversation, obviously, for the college football playoff. Yeah.
You know, we're in the South. Big Ten is flying under the radar a little bit. So.
Big Ten. Hey, I've worked a bunch of Big Ten games this year, so I've kind of gotten to see.
You're the only reason I paid attention to them. So.
Aw, Slay.
Yeah, forget Big
Ten. Good teammate.
Yep.
Hating on the Big Ten. Man,
get out of here.
Telling you what, that Minnesota game I worked was just Big Ten football. Yeah. I had Big Ten football written all over it. Put up 7 offensive linemen, 8, stack them up. Let's go.
Let's get to it.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll jump into some Titans talk. If you want to chat, 615-737-1045. Mentioned yesterday, you know what? I had written the Titans off in Sunday's game. I thought there was no way they would come away with a win off a short work week, an emotional Monday Night Football win over the Bills. They proved me wrong.
Yeah.
What stood out to you about that game? What are you concerned about moving forward? Obviously facing a very different team than what they just saw the past 2 weeks.
Right.
Jump in the conversation. 615-737-1045. We want to hear from you. Call Honk, Don Davenport, Ron Slay. This is 3HL. Welcome back, 3HL, 104.5 The Zone. We are live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring Hill, hoping that you come on out and hang out with us. Grab some wings. This is our Titans football feast. We will have Chester Rogers, wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, out here with us at 5 o'clock. Don Davenport alongside Ron Slay.
Yes, sir. I'm in the building.
Yes, as we work towards another Titans week here.
Mm-hmm.
And another Titans opponent, and a big one, and we hit a little bit on this yesterday with the Colts. Their conversation is our way to stay in this, and our way to kind of make sure that we are still in this is to get an AFC South win and to do it this weekend. And this is a different Colts team than what the Titans saw last time.
And, Babs, it's amazing what time does, especially in football. Like, it's... The NFL season, I would equate it to dog years. It's like 1 week is almost like a month and a half. Like, you look back 2 weeks ago, and even talking about the Colts, the opponent coming up, this is a team not written off, but it's like, what are they going to do? Are they going to be able to get it together? Can Carson Wentz get healthy enough? And then here you go. You're looking at the Colts coming into this game with a humongous win in San Francisco. Now, all those questions that were asked about Frank Reich and Carson Wentz have all been shifted to San Francisco. And now they're asking that about Shanahan and that offense and Garoppolo. What can he get done? And then you look at the Titans after 2 weeks from the what's I got? Chicken Little with the sky falling down.
Yeah. All of a sudden. At the Arizona game, yeah. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, offensive coordinator can't call an offense. Come on, man. There's injuries. Oh. This is bad.
Oh, now look where we are now. Now you're not only talking about the Titans being the upper echelon again of the AFC, but now having an MVP guy and Derrick Henry and putting all that together. Nobody's questioning the line anymore. Those, and even though with the health, it's still not questioning the secondary, which should be questioned, is not a question because of this defensive rush that they poured money into. It's so much going good with the Titans. And, I mean, listen, we're hard on the coaching staff. They got to get the flowers, too. I mean, and, of course, the players. The players go without question to me. But somebody got to get the credit. You know, the next man up attitude and going out there and producing, not just the person going in. And I can't wait to ask Chester Rogers about that, too, because I talked about yesterday, I need him back on the punt return team. Really, really bad. Like, I love Mason Kinsey, but I am so nervous. I am so comfortable when Chester is back there. So, hopefully he gets back in there and
that was
gets
like
rolling.
The first thing you said when you came in on Monday. Man, I just get so nervous.
Because a game can change with momentum plays. And that right there, that's a facet of the game. All three facets of the game. Special teams, offense, defense. It's a big part for them, so.
So we talk about Carson Wentz, and because obviously we're going to focus a lot on this Titans offense coming up later in the show with Chester here with us. So we'll talk a lot offensively. We'll talk a lot of Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and what they do. But if you look at Indy and you look at Carson Wentz and what he has been able to do, he completed 17 of 26 passes, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating 106.2, and he's now had a passer rating of over 104 consecutive games.
Wow.
4 straight, so.
And that ankle is heavily taped, too. We were watching the game, and me and Ramon pointed out at the same time, look at that ankle.
Yeah.
Like, it's
well,
still
and the
heavily
first,
taped.
The first time you saw him, it was, I mean, it was clearly.
How was he even out there?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and he shouldn't have been. And
no,
that,
you're right.
That told you everything you needed to know about how they felt about Jacob Eason, right? Because they put him out there with a heavily taped ankle where he could not even move, as opposed to going with Eason, which now we saw.
Exactly.
Their quarterback depth chart now is Carson Wentz, Brett Hundley, and Sam Ehlinger. So
yes,
we
yes.
know how they felt. Bye-bye.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, he's been extremely efficient, 4 straight games. 5 of his 7 starts in 2021, he also has a passer rating of over 100. Mm. So
you know who's flirting with that passer rating? MV King. Derrick Henry. I'm just saying, you know, if we're talking quarterbacks and guys throwing touchdowns, we got to talk Derrick Henry a little bit.
You mean Derrick Henry, who threw more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes this weekend? You mean that Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
That's who you're
that
talking
one.
About?
Exactly.
And I know it's only Tuesday, so maybe it's a little early to really dive into Colts talk, but this is not the same Colts team that they saw.
No.
Now, obviously, you can pull a lot from that, but it's just not the same.
And
Quentin Nelson back at left guard, that's a big.
Huge.
I mean, that was big for them as well.
They poured into that offensive line. And just like we were talking to Mike Keefe yesterday, the opposite end of that is this isn't the same Titans team they saw.
Absolutely.
Either.
100%.
So that's good. Like, you got guys out there that are threats, regardless if they're 100% healthy or not. Like, you get Julio and AJ out there. You got Derrick Henry rolling. You got the line blocking. This defensive pass rush is second to none right now in the NFL.
Well, so that kind of leads to one of my questions. The biggest difference you've seen or you've felt in this Titans team and how they have been able to get it done the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And obviously you had two similar quarterbacks, at least from a threat standpoint in what they're able to do. And it will be a different, I mean, you'll see a different offense when you face this Colts team. You know, they would probably prefer to run the ball.
Yes.
So the biggest difference in what you've seen from this Titans team where things are clicking now, and I think, I mean, one is they're getting somewhat healthier.
There you go. Yep.
And the pieces behind that have stepped in for those that aren't healthy have done their job.
Yes.
Not more, not less, but done their job.
Yep. And then it was – now I think you – like you said, health is one key one. Two is knowing who's going to be reliable. You look at a guy like David Long Jr. coming into the game, I think you hang your hat on him. We got him as the same way you think about a guy like Jeff Simmons, you think about David Long Jr. You see DeNico entering that realm also. Rashad Evans, finally, you know, he's like Brent said, he started the Buffalo game, then it bled over into the Kansas City game. He's clicking. The only question is the corners, and that's because of health. But with a pass rush being the way it is, hey, I'm
and
all
how
for it.
Long can that?
How long does it last?
How long can that hold
how
up?
How long does it last?
I
tell you this though, Babs. The thing is, what Landry is doing off the edge, and then Bud Dupree finally getting his legs under him and getting not only his legs under him, but the confidence of him, because the man missed almost a year of playing football, so. Him being able to get his legs under and get confident in his moves and the rhythm of the game, the snaps, when to fire off the ball, all of that plays into it, man. So, I can honestly, and I don't want to be homerish on this one, but I can only see it getting better. I know you say it can't get worse, but can it get better? I think it can. I mean, because look.
Absolutely. DeNico's
just scratching the surface.
Right. Another week for Bud to get healthier. Mm-hmm. You add in, and I'm looking long-term, too, a healthy Julio Jones.
Yes.
But, you know, Buck Rising had reported he wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Basically, coaching staff was like, nah, you're good.
Right, just be cool.
heal up the hammy. Not that Julio wants to remember or talk about anything injury-wise.
Yeah,
I don't know, but, yeah. I'm sorry, what? Hamstring? I don't know what you're talking about. If you've missed his press conference, that's usually the norm for him. Yes. I will say this though: we're talking about the pluses, the future, the moving forward, okay. I think this team can move in the right direction and get better. Todd Downing getting more comfortable with what his weapons are and play calling and what works, and what they're doing, and those stepping into the offensive line and giving Ryan Tannehill a little bit of time and. You know, he's not seeing ghosts anymore.
Right.
All of that. But after the game, first of all, Kevin Byard said, nobody's won nothing.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, we just beat, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs. And those are two teams that you mark as have to learn how to beat these teams in order to still be playing at the end of the year.
Because
those are two of those teams. Because they're playing at the end of the year. Yeah. I get it. But Kevin Byard said it best, and he's like, we haven't done anything. We haven't won anything.
Right.
It's still really early. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Mike Vrabel was kind of a little salty after a win, after a big win on a short work week against Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
But I think that's why, because it was, hey, we have to stay focused.
In order to break the norm, and we talk about it week to week every time with the Titans football team, you always have that letdown. History shows it's a letdown coming. In order to break that, keeping your mind, man, we ain't did nothing yet. You ain't did anything. You still got to go out there and show. And I do, back to the pass rush, we can't rule out guys like Ola or Danny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Carson Wentz isn't Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes right now, especially being athletic. And being able to – he is athletic, but being healthy enough to scramble around. In some situation, Carson will be on the spot. I think that bodes well to that pass rush also. Bud Dupree coming around the edge, Landry coming around the edge, Ola Danny coming around the edge, pushing pressure up front. Big Merch is back. He's playing. So if you get that, I think it's a little different than chasing a guy like Mahomes and Allen. So it's gonna be interesting to see how Indy protects, because Kansas City couldn't, you know, and coming into it, the O-line.
That line, man.
Yeah, I mean, and they look, you got Big Eric, the left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Trey Young on the left side. They couldn't get it done. The rights, and I'm a big Trey Smith advocate.
Yes.
He's been playing phenomenal. He's probably going to be on a rookie team or something, but.
He's battling injury.
So at this point in the season.
Is it an ankle? I think it's an ankle. Right?
I think so. Yep. So that planning and things like that. And listen, that injury report comes out. These guys know it. They're trying to take advantage of that. If you don't think they're reading it, you're crazy. So I can't wait to see the limit. The sky is definitely the limit. It's not the roof, like Michael Jordan would say. It is definitely the sky's the limit with the team, because, there's so many weapons in the front seven. And we get on the backside, outside of Bayard. It's going to be a little tough. Amani Hooker, we need him back healthy.
Like, that's a different conversation. Christian,
what about where are we with Christian Fulton now? He needs one more week.
So Buffalo Bills was game one. So
okay,
was
so
put on
Kansas
IR that day. So that's one game, mm-hmm. and it's three.
Okay,
total.
So Kansas City was two.
Yep.
Man, we don't want these games to hurry by, but hurry by.
Well, but you also want him to get healthy when you're looking for the long haul run here as well. And no distractions. And I feel like distractions is like, this is my leeway into open coaching, vacancies, and drama, and all of this.
Because it's out here.
It's all, it's so entertaining.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, because USC is open,
mm-hmm.
college-wise. I feel like that is a fan base. And that's a place that's very similar to a Tennessee,
right?
When it comes to their football program, the history there, this is an amazing job,
yes.
you know, but it's fallen off lately. It's just with how everything's changed is a little different,
right?
Everything in the game and recruiting wise and all of that. So it's kind of a different job now,
right?
But still a big name job. LSU, needless to say,
yes,
huge. Huge job. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's lists. There's reports out. There's this, whatever. I mean, James Franklin, of course, you know, his agent has him. Actually, he just changed agents, by the
Did
way.
Did he?
I think he just joined Jimmy.
Oh, Sexton.
Sexton, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I saw a report somewhere. But anyway, so there's James Franklin's name that's out for every single open job, clearly. Not sure how that Illinois loss is going to do for him.
Yeah.
But there's one, so I think it's Matt Leinart that came out with a list of four guys for this USC job. Mike Tomlin was one of them. Mike Tomlin's name on this list, which, you know me, I'm like, I'm sorry. If you're an NFL guy, the last thing you want
to
do is step into this absolute Schiano show of college recruiting where you have to talk to every single kid all the time and you're texting and you're DMing and now you've got, there's NIL that's going on and there's the transfer portal. So, hey, if this five-star freshman comes in and you don't play him right away, even if he's not ready, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, peace. And then, guess what? You have injuries and you're screwed because you have no depth because the transfer portal is absolutely changing the college game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, anytime anyone brings up an NFL guy's name, who has been a consistent NFL coach, I'm like, there is no way that he's interested. So of course, the media, because this is what we do.
Yeah.
We have to do this. We have to ask the questions.
Poke and pry.
Oh, the Steelers press conference today. Did you see this? Because, it was good.
Let me hear it.
All right. So this is Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. When he was asked if he would leave the Steelers job for that open USC job because his name now is on a list. Here's Coach Tomlin.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Questions about any college jobs is not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? Anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Wow.
There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Listen.
I'm not going to say never, but never.
Now, in other words, hey, man, don't ask me nothing stupid anymore.
No,
please,
you know
don't.
What you really wanted to say. You can't say. What he really wanted to say, you can't say on
air.
Yeah,
four-letter words. Start with F.
Get out of here with that mess.
Exactly. And what you got to realize, this man is it would be different if he was working for one of these franchises that's unstable, such as maybe a Miami, you know, that's in flux a lot. I can't even, it's a lot of them out there. But Pittsburgh is not that one.
Or if it's a guy who maybe didn't have a ton of success in the NFL, and you look at like a Nick Saban who likes the ability to kind of develop players a little bit more. That's more the college game.
You're exactly right.
Tomlin has
no.
That's not his deal.
No, it's not. And the man hasn't had an under 500 season since he's been in the league.
Right. That's the other thing. I'm like,
like, what are you talking about?
Successful. Yeah.
And I coached for the Rooneys, who gave me an opportunity as a young African American coach to get into the league and got the job done, got a Super Bowl. And they've stuck with me. I've stuck with them. And it's been a match made in heaven. Why would I leave this stability? And like you said, to your point, the NCAA gets involved and you no longer have that carrot of a big-time contract to dangle in front of a player to get him to get out there and play hard. Like you said, with NCAA, man, they're not happy they leave. It's like, what? You take the power away from the coach and the management and everything else, and then let alone the rules that you got to go against. Like, come on, man.
You want his record?
What is it?
154-87-1.
You want me to leave this? Tell me why. Tell me why again.
He's never had a losing season.
Come on, man. Stop it.
Since
man.
He was with the Steelers in 2007. But you know what? You know what I want to do? I want to go to USC. I want to go try and build something.
I see exactly what they're doing out there. That looks so enticing.
Oh,
yeah, get out of here, man.
That's
Stop
rough.
It. I love his answer. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know about you, but, well, who knows? But you can make arguments, I guess. But if you're looking at USC or LSU, what job are you going to take? I know LSU, you got to run through the gauntlet of the SEC every single year. I get it. But you know you can win a national championship there because Ed O just did it 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure so you've got top-notch facilities. You know you've got Louisiana in recruiting just, you know, shored up. I don't know.
Right.
So James Franklin is the other guy whose name comes up.
Yeah.
And his responses to the questions are, like, completely opposite. I mean, he's, like, all over the show right now. Mm-hmm. So he was asked today, you know, all the coaches do kind of their weekly press conferences today, get ready for Saturday's game in college. And obviously James Franklin coming off his
big time loss.
Loss to Illinois, his 9 overtime loss.
Way to fight through, baby.
So he's like, oh, you know, we're focused here. First of all, he says, yep, you know, totally ready for a big environment at the big house.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're not playing there. That's not their game this week.
Yeah, I think that's Michigan State.
Yeah, no.
And Michigan
they're
is
playing Ohio
Michigan State.
State.
Yeah, Penn State. Listen, Penn State's at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Michigan is not even having a home game. They're at Michigan State. So like, maybe he was going to rent the stadium. Oh, hey, man.
So clearly his focus is, Anyway, so, of course, he's asked about open job things. And, you know, he's like, well, honestly, we're just focused on Illinois this week. Guess what? They just played Illinois and lost to them in 9 overtimes.
Hey,
you're
man.
Playing Ohio State, James.
The game's still going on.
What are you doing? Where are you?
They're in a 200th overtime right now trying to get this 2-point conversion,
right?
Man.
Like that 2-point conversion.
It's stressing them.
Man, that clearly has messed with his mind, and he is not focused. But, I mean, don't you wonder? Don't you wonder if his mind is elsewhere at this point?
Yes.
Like, man, I got to get out of here.
Yes.
That USC job. He was gunning for the USC job last time it was open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe is he going to self-implode? Like, wait a minute, Franklin. Get it together.
I don't know. But by the way, James, you're playing Ohio State this weekend. Oh, and by the way, that team is hot
now. And dying after that Oregon mishap to make a statement.
Oh,
they can't wait
gosh.
To make a statement. So, yeah.
And they've made a statement every single week.
Yeah, and we're so making far. A statement, too, right here at Buffalo Wild Wings out here in Spring Hill. Thank you for the people that have arrived. You're in the building. Thank you. Okay, it's getting loud. It's getting cranked up. So Make sure you get here. We still want to hear from you people calling in 615-737-1045. We will be right back, Babs.
Welcome back in 3HL 104.5 The Zone. We are on the road with our Titans feast here, and we are at Buffalo Wild Wings. We've got Chester Rogers coming to join us a little bit later. Child actor Chester Rogers, by the way. If you didn't know, now you know.
Like, how many times does that happen that you go into a professional sport? Like,
right.
That's not golf or something.
Like, that you're that talented, you can, you know, go be an actor or go play professional football, right? I don't know. You could be an actor, Ron Slay.
Yeah, I could be. That's right.
Hey, Jim Wyatt could be an actor. That's for sure. Jim Wyatt has all the stories. We know that. Jimmy is with us right now with Titans.com. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. Did you guys know that Chester Rogers has his own GIF collection?
No.
No.
Entire collection?
If you put it. You go to your phone, look for GIFs, and put in Chester Rogers, you'll see about 6-7 different shots of him, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down,
oh, wow.
Arms out, smiling. He did it for Nickelodeon back in the day. So you'll have to ask him about that, and you can use GIFs and promoting him coming on the show.
Man, hey, see,
Jim,
that is great.
You're something else, Jim. That's what I'm talking about.
Jim knows everything. Hey, Jim, I got to be honest. I may have written the Titans off in that Kansas City game because I thought so many injuries coming off an emotional Monday night football game, a short work week, they get a win over the Bills. You know, they're missing basically their entire secondary besides Byard. I thought there's no way that they could get it done, and they do. What did we learn about this Titans team with a win over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone, Don. I mean, I think if you looked at these two games back-to-back, too, I think they're the two that jumped out at on the schedule as being, you know, two of the tougher games. And I think a lot of people would have predicted the Titans would go 0-2. So to beat Buffalo, you know, that was a plus. And it almost, you know, looked at it like, okay, you know, if you lose the Chiefs game, the Titans didn't think this, obviously. But I think if you're a fan, you think if you can split these two, you would take it. But not only do you beat Buffalo, but you dominate the Chiefs with the banged up secondary, as you said. And I think I think what we learned is that this team is starting to get a pass rush that can overcome when you have injuries on the back end. It has an offense now that you know, with everybody getting close to healthy, you know, Julio Jones and AJ Brown out there, Anthony Firkser are now out there. You're still missing your left tackle and Taylor Lewan. You're shuffling some other guys in and out there, but you've got a lot of your pieces back. And, you know, I think we're seeing the potential of this team. So two encouraging results. You know, with all that said, now you head into a stretch at Indy, at L.A., and if you drop these next two, you're going to be tied atop the division with the Colts after 9 games because the Colts play the Jets after the Titans. They're not losing to that Jets team. So that's you can't celebrate, you know, very long because you got two really tough ones staring at you in the face. And this Colts, you know, Colts team is healthier now with Wentz going to be a little bit more mobile. It's another big challenge coming up here in just a couple of days.
Yeah, we always talk about divisional games counting twice almost. Is it as simple, you look at this Titans team and where everything is clicking, is it as simple as getting key players healthier?
I think that's a part of it. But still, you know, not completely there yet because you're still playing without Christian Fulton and you didn't play with Amani Hooker this weekend. And again, Taylor Wan's out. So, they're still not completely all the way back from a health standpoint, but I do think, you know, AJ is kind of back to being himself again. Julio, even if the numbers aren't huge, he's still impacting games. And you're seeing, you know, Bud Dupree look better than he's looked after, you know, kind of some road bumps at the start. So I think some of it's health, some of it guys just getting better. You know, some of it is the success. The run game is now opening things up in the passing game, and maybe this team is not too bad after all. I mean, I know the game against the Cardinals was terrible. You know, the game against the Jets was forgettable. But you know, after that blowout against the Cardinals, this team's played pretty good football other than the trip to the Meadowlands. And and now, you know, you just need to see that consistency here over the rest of the season.
And Jim, real quick before you leave us, and we don't want you to, but before you do, you talk about consistency. David Long Jr., like, we saw the maturation of Big Jeff Simmons and him being a vocal guy and being an emotional guy. You're starting to see that from David Long, who's been waiting his opportunity, and now that he's gotten it, it's like he's got a stranglehold on it. Now, speak to his consistency and that next man up really meaning something, because when you get your opportunity, and Vrabel preaches it, you got to be that guy, and he's that guy.
Yeah, and it's fun watching him play because he's like a missile out there. He just seems to find the ball and seems to make things happen. And reality is, I think when the season started and you started doing the count at linebacker, you know, Rashawn Evans and Jaylen Brown were viewed by most everybody as the top two, just drafted Monty Rice. In some ways, you know, David Long was a forgotten man, but, you know, he has been one of the most consistent players on this defense. And I think really all he needed was an opportunity and a chance to play. And the more you play, the better you're going to get. So he's gotten into a great groove. You know, he is one of these guys that just seems to find the football. He's a spark plug. You know, he's an energy guy, and he's fast. So he's going to make it tough for Jayon to get kind of back into the role he was in before he got hurt. So I think now you're looking at David Long not only as a starter for the rest of the way here, but then looking ahead, you know, he's got to be one of your guys moving forward as well. So he's been a great development. It's been neat to see, and he's one of the big reasons why this team's all of a sudden playing a lot better on defense.
Jim, real quick on the way out, you've been covering this Titans team since they got here in Tennessee, 99. And there's a lot of talk after the win over Kansas City, the national talk, people, Titans fans kind of complaining about the fact that national media people are talking about how bad Kansas City is, not necessarily how good the Titans are and what they did to make Kansas City look bad. But I am curious from your perspective, how have you seen kind of the national narrative on the Titans, on a, you know, and I'm doing air quotes, by the way, small market team, how have you seen it change? And is it better now? Because we're still seeing after a Monday night win over the Bills, it's, you know, and then a follow it up with a win over Mahomes, and it's, okay, well, Kansas City's really bad. Their defense is terrible, and their offensive line can't protect. It's not, oh, hey, look, the Titans are pretty dang good. How have you seen that narrative change?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. I mean, you know, you still hear about, you know, the Bengals deserve all the props that they're getting for playing so well and blowing out Baltimore. And I still think Buffalo is one of the best teams in the AFC, if not the entire league. You know, Titans seem like they're in that next wave of contenders. But, you know, reality is, you know, Titans shouldn't get too worked up over it, and fans shouldn't get too worked up over it. Because a lot of times when, you know, and we've seen this, you know, like you said, I've been covering this team for a long time. It seems like every time, you know, the team or some players speak out about wanting to get more respect, that's when you kind of fall flat on your face. So reality is you just got to keep doing your job. I'll never forget, you know, that 2019 season when the Titans really weren't that talked about. And then all of a sudden you're playing the AFC Championship game, and then everybody is talking about you. So that's a better scenario. I mean, if they're talking about you in January and February, that's what matters most. What's happening now in October really doesn't mean anything.
Good stuff. Always Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. You can go to TitansOnline.com. Check out his mailbag. It's always great. You even answer questions in Spanish and respond in Spanish in your mailbag. Like, you are on it, Jimmy. I love it.
I appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great day.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Jim Wyatt, at J Wyatt Sports on Twitter. Always good Titans contact there. All right. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Brent Daugherty is in Houston, wandering around outside of the stadium. He's got the vibe of the World Series and what's going on there in Houston. So we will check in with him here in the 4 o'clock hour. Also check in with Alan Bell as well. Stick around. This is 3HL live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring Hill.